Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about a Packers victory over the Kansas City Chiefs in the preseason finale last night, as well as getting to some 53-man roster predictions. But to kick off the show, we have joining us on the phone, we have the director of the documentary movie Die Noobs, making its premiere tonight, Eric Sivlevich. Eric, I should have probably asked off air, but did I pronounce that last name correct?
It was pretty close. I thought as a Madison guy, you would have got it like 100% on because of Mayor Dave, but it was close. It's pretty good.
Sivlevich?
There you go. Second time's a charm.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, Eric is a Packers fan. He, as I said, he's also the director of the movie Die Noobs, making its premiere tonight. But Eric, let's get into a little background first. You're a Packers fan. How did you become a Packers fan? And you're now out in what, Washington, D.C.?
I am. I'm an expat now, an expat okay. Packers fan. No, I inherited my Packer fandom, much like my short 5'8" stature from my parents and my grandparents. My grandma's probably the biggest Packer fan I know. She still owns turf from 97, was it, when they sold the sod from Lambeau?
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember watching the Magic Man, Don Majkowski, playing at my grandma's place, because we would go there every Sunday to watch the Packer games when I was growing up. So yeah, I basically got it pumped into my genes because I grew up just outside of Stevens Point.
Very good. You know, it's for Packer fans of our era, growing up with the Magic Man is kind of like, you know, my father growing up watching the Lombardi era. I mean, we just weren't born in that era. We can't date our fandom back to that, but anyway. Eric, let's talk about the movie Die Noobs, making its premiere tonight. Just in a general sense, please tell our audience what it's all about.
So Die Noobs is at the end of the day, it's a story of two online gaming friends that decide to meet up in real life to enter a professional esports tournament. So basically, as they go through their journey of what it takes to become a professional gamer, the audience sort of learns about this subculture that I think is way bigger than most people on the outside of it know about, and just how big electronic sports has gotten. I think the last actually couple of months has been pretty good for telling people what's happening there in terms of video games becoming a sport with the International Four played on ESPN just a couple weeks ago, and the prize purse on that was over $10 million. So, wow. Like, the mainstream audience is getting there, but we're hoping that this film can really help sort of bridge that gap for people between stuff they know, like, say, football or even something like rock and roll, and something like playing video games professionally.
So I can kind of relate with, you know, with meeting people basically over the internet, being fans of football, is that kind of the thing here? Like these two friends would kind of game together online and then, but had lived far apart. Was that the case?
Exactly. Yeah. One of them lived in Wisconsin. The other one lived in Colorado, and they played video games together online, but they had never met in person until we started filming. So the first time they met each other, they were followed by me and a camera crew as we documented the whole thing.
Very interesting. Now, as I understand, former Packers tight end Tom Crabtree appears on the film. And part of the reason we wanted you to come on the show today, talk about that. Can you discuss Tom Crabtree's role in the film and what it was like working with him?
Definitely. Tom, first of all, Tom was amazing. Like, Tom got the film, like, right away, like, what we were going for, the sort of feel, because, like, yeah, it's a documentary, but, like, it's silly, it's goofy, it's not a stuffy documentary that's also soul-crushing that tells you about this terrible thing that's happening. Not that those don't have their place, those are good documentaries, but that's not what this is. Tom is was recruited as one of the people that teaches these two how to go from being normal dudes to being champions. Because, of course, Tom's a champion on one of the world's biggest stages at the Super Bowl. So the guys go to Green Bay, and Tom meets them at Lambeau. And then they go from there as Tom takes them on a couple of different little mini training camps of sorts and teaches them how to be champions, how he prepared to be a champion, how they can prepare to become a champion. So that's sort of his role within the film. And he's actually the first training camp they do. So he shows up pretty early in the film for people that want to watch it tonight that are looking for that Packers connection.
So, you know, I think a lot of our audience will be interested about the connection to Green Bay. I mean, so you went to Lambeau Field. What did you film anywhere else in Green Bay proper?
We did. We filmed at Weston Racket Fitness and Sports, I believe was the whole name of that gym. Tom takes the guys to the gym, and of course they're out of shape gamer dudes, but he tries to show them how they should properly get in shape and stuff like that, and sort of runs them into the ground a little bit. And then he takes them to actually play video games at a bar in town that, at least when we were there, was called Champions near Lambeau, but I hear that it's like under new management or something. I don't know if it has a new name or something like that.
Yeah, so. I think they changed ownership, but anyway, yeah. I think the building's still there. But what are the details on the premiere this evening for our audience? You know, when and where can they go watch it?
So we are premiering on a website called Twitch, which some people may have heard of now because it's sold to Amazon for almost $1 billion cash. So they're doing all right.
Yeah.
But before they were bought by Amazon, Twitch was actually the fourth largest website in the world after Netflix, Apple, and Google in terms of the traffic that it did. And basically, Twitch is sort of esports and video games in general's answer to the lack of sort of mainstream attention that they get and the fact that they can't really seem to find themselves on television too much. They just sort of bypass television and became Twitch, which is this sort of on-demand video streaming service that does some video on-demand stuff, but does it mostly live broadcasts. And it does everything of live broadcast stuff like tournaments and stuff like that. So people, like anyone in their home, can make a Twitch account and literally start broadcasting what they see on their computer screen. So we're premiering on twitch.tv/Twitch. So that's the channel we will be on, as it were. But I believe if you just go to twitch.tv at 8 o'clock Lambeau time tonight, we'll be right on the front page, and you can just click right on there. So yeah, 8 o'clock Lambeau time tonight on twitch.tv is where it's all happening. And we are also selling the video on demand if you want more information on that, to just sort of watch it on your own time whenever you feel like it. That's at deadnoobs.com. Someone had dinoobs.com and wouldn't sell it to us.
Wouldn't sell it to you, but very no. Cool. Lambeau time. I like the specification there, but
Oh yeah. I got to keep it real for the people back home.
Yes. Now, speaking of Packers here, seeing as you're a Packers fan, Eric, and we're talking about the final preseason game last night and the end of training camp and the cutdowns to 53 take place tomorrow. I just want to pick your brain a little bit. What's your opinion on the backup quarterback situation? I think this is like the conversation of the day. Who will the backup quarterback be, and will the Packers keep one or two or three?
Well, isn't it great to be a Packers fan and have this be the big conversation of what we're doing with the backup quarterback? Like that's a pretty great place to be. But yeah, my heart is with Flynn, but my brain is with Tolzien. So that's where I'm sitting right now. I love Flynn. You know, we got all the great memories of him coming in and, you know, almost beating the Patriots a couple years ago, and even coming in last year. But at the same time, I actually I was shooting in Sweden for Die Noobs over Thanksgiving, so I remember the Flynn Thanksgiving game last year, which was not so great. That's where I'm sitting right now. I think at the end of the day, they get rid of Flynn.
Yeah, I like your summation very well. My heart's with Flynn, and the brain is with Tolzien. I'm in the same place, and I certainly wish no ill will towards Matt Flynn. I wish him the best, whatever happens to him. But I think you go with Scott Tolzien as well. Are you worried about a rookie starting at center in the season opener at Seattle? The injury happened to J.C. Treader. Corey Linsley plays last night. He's going to be snapping to Aaron Rodgers. Does that have any concern for you heading into the season?
My only concern with that, I think, is Aaron Rodgers is touching more guys' butts, and that's just going to add to those gay rumors. And we're just never going to hear the end of that. No, I mean, this guy, he might be a rookie in the NFL, but it's not like he's never snapped a football before. So I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good last night in what I thought in the preseason finale, Corey Linsley did. The Packers really have no place to turn. I mean, it's him or it's TJ Lang coming off the bench again for an injured player like he did last season. In less good news here, in terms of the injury situation, what's been your reaction to the loss of BJ Raji for the season? Do you think that's going to be a big loss, or will he or won't he be missed?
I think people are going to miss the Raji burger probably than we're going to miss Raji himself. Raji seems like a sweet dude, and we'll always have that that interception in that playoff game where he did the dance that got him a nice commercial gig. But I don't know. It's been interesting watching Packer fans' reactions go from he's a bum and we should never pay him anything again to he's the linchpin of the entire Super Bowl run in a matter of months here recently.
Yeah. He had a good training camp, so I don't know how to react to this, but his last two years before that were certainly disappointing, to say the least. The Packers have to cut to 53 players tomorrow. Eric, is there a long shot, somebody you kind of came to love over the course of training camp or the preseason that you think maybe the Packers will keep?
I've always been a Chris Banjo guy, so I'm rooting for Banjo. I don't know if he's that much of a long shot, but I know he's kind of on the bubble a little bit, so.
Yeah, I would have to agree, and he ended up making a huge special teams tackle last night that only solidified his case, I believe, for being kept on the 53-man roster. It's going to be tough, because if the Packers keep Chris Banjo, you got to think they're keeping five safeties, and that's quite a few, because, I mean, he's probably not going to get a whole lot of time at safety, and special teams is where he's at. But, Eric, here, we appreciate your time. Before we let you go, what's your season prediction for the Packers, your prognostication? If you're looking to do a crystal ball, what's ahead for the Packers this year?
19-0. That's my prediction. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm just going all hog wild on it.
So is this the fandom, or is this another thing with the brain and the heart, or what? Or how do we go with that?
I think as long as it's still not the official season and that first snap hasn't been taken on Thursday night, I say you can be as optimistic as you want to be. I think the realism doesn't set in until they do that first kickoff at Seattle. So I'm just saying 16-0 until things really get rolling here and we see a full four quarters with the starters going up against the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, spoken like a true Packer fan. I mean, what's your thoughts heading into Seattle, though, going on the road, facing the defending Super Bowl champion? Do you think the Packers stand a chance in such a tough environment against the 12th man?
I always thought the 12th man thing was a little overdone. I think they've got a real shot to do some real damage in there. I think Seattle is extraordinarily lucky as a defending Super Bowl champion to not have seen their roster get picked apart the way a lot of other ones do. So they're gonna be tougher than most defending Super Bowl champions, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm gonna be total fan here and just say I think they've got a good handle on it. I think they're gonna go in and do well.
I like where you're headed with that, Eric. It's gonna be a busy day for you, I'm sure. So we'll let you go. But I wish you all the best of luck with Die Noobs. Twitch.tv, correct?
Twitch.tv at 8 a.m. Central.
P.M.
Right, P.M. Central.
P.M. Ooh. Central. Very
good morning.
Good. Yeah, yeah. It's early here at Railbird Central. But no, I appreciate the time. I wish you all the best of luck and go win Academy Award.
Thanks, man. I just think we've made a really fun film that I think is going to be enjoyable for people who play video games or not. I think there's a lot to see in it. There's a lot of universal themes that go well beyond what it means to frag noobs online and stuff like that. So I think anyone who enjoys competition, who enjoys seeing people trying their best to be the best at something, anything, is going to find something to enjoy in this film. So, yeah, it's been great talking with you, Brian. Like hearing that Wisconsin accent makes me feel like home again. So keep up the good work, man. I always enjoy listening to the podcast and following you online, dude. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Take care, Eric.
You too, man. You too.
All right. Eric Szlevich joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Great to talk to him about the premiere of Die Noobs this evening. Friday, what is it? August 29th is the date. So definitely that's your call to action is to go watch Die Noobs tonight. Or if you're not going to do it, follow them on Twitter. The Twitter handle Dead Noobs, at least tweet out the link, whatever. Pass word along somehow. That's the least we can do here at Railbird Central for Eric Szlevich, a Packers fan and director of the documentary film. But let's continue our discussion here of the Green Bay Packers at here on a Friday morning at Cheesehead TV. I think the big thing here, we're talking about the preseason finale. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here for a long time and rehash what happened last night. And, you know, I guess, first of all, mentioning right off the bat, but before the Packers even kicked off last night, the do not play list or did not participate list numbered 20 players, which in my estimation, or, you know, to my knowledge, that is unprecedented in Packers preseason history, that they sat out 20 players, most of them starters, although a handful had legitimate injury reasons for not playing. But I mean, you did not see Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, Eddie Lacy, Jordy Nelson, Tremont Williams, Sam Shields. Basically, any, you know, legitimate starter who's been with the team for a while was not playing in last night's game, as the Packers simply deciding to hold them out with the regular season opener just 7 days away, 1 week away. They were not about to let any major player get injured in last night's game and give the bulk of the playing time to the backups, the guys fighting for roster spots, you know, for one reason, because they don't want the starters to get hurt, but for number two, to give these guys a nice long look and find out who's the 52nd and 53rd guy going to make the roster. You know, the jobs could have been won and lost last night. I wouldn't say a lot of them were won and lost, but, you know, like Chris Banjo, Eric's a fan of Chris Banjo. I think he won a roster spot last night with his play on special teams, as well as solid play on defense as well. If there was one guy who I think won a roster spot last night, he may have been the guy. I mean, the starter's not playing at all. I sit here and I look, you know, something's got to change with the NFL and this preseason thing. Nobody wants to really, I mean, I think there's value in getting some evaluation for backups like this, but I just don't think the NFL needs 4 preseason games, to do so. I think this has got to be like some evidence to the NFL that they got to cut back. And I know they've kind of soured on that for a while. There was kind of a push for a while to reduce the number of preseason games, but it's kind of gone away. It seems as if, you know, the NFL doesn't want to sacrifice any of the major money made on four preseason games, and doesn't want to add games to the regular season and get players more injured. The starters, who all sat last night, and instead playing two more regular season games and exposure to injuries when a 16-game season is working just fine. It's a tough call. I understand that. I don't know. I still don't think there should be four preseason games, though. And, I think maybe part of the reason, maybe some of the way you make up for that is the creation of a developmental league at some point could be, you know, income can be made from that, that would maybe offset the loss of two preseason games. But anyway, here, let's get talking about the Packers and how they're going to create this 53-man roster. There were a couple injuries from last night's game that I think are complicating matters a little bit. The biggest one to rookie defensive lineman Kyree Thornton, who suffered a hamstring injury. Kyree Thornton hasn't exactly, as a third-round draft pick, had a very good training camp, kind of been disappointing in my estimation. Not that you're going to give up on him totally, but I don't know, maybe this ends up making the Packers' job a little bit easier. If he's lost for the season, you just place him on an injured reserve, and you know, that way you don't have to spend a roster spot on him. But I mean, I don't know the severity of the injury yet, other than it's to his hamstring. Maybe he's a short-term injured reserve kind of guy. Maybe he's placed on IR for the entirety of the season. I don't really know, but kind of waiting to find that out. Linebacker Nate Palmer suffered an injury last night, I believe, to his knee. He was kind of a bubble player as well. And then linebacker Adrian Hubbard suffered an injury. All these guys kind of, and Hubbard being a bubble player as well, and I don't think he was going to make the 53-man roster, but perhaps the practice squad. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out here, because I don't know the severity of the injuries and whether these guys are done for the season or not, or whatever happened. I wish them well, and I wish they didn't have to suffer injuries last night. But the fact of the matter is, the Packers got to cut down to 53-man roster by tomorrow. Deadline Saturday at, I believe, 3 p.m. Lambeau time is when the Packers got to be down to 53 at minimum. You know, sometimes they end up cutting down even below 53 and end up picking up a waiver wire addition or something like that. If we just quickly here want to go position by position through the roster, I'll give you my thinking. And again, my thoughts on the 53-man roster are subject to change when we learn a little bit more definitively about injuries and how that might impact decisions. But, you know, with the quarterback situation last night, both Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien had very good performances, both of them throwing two touchdown passes, both of them avoiding any turnovers, any interceptions. They really both stated their case. I've said this before. I think the Packers shouldn't overreact to last year's quarterback troubles. So many injuries, and Scott Tolzien just simply wasn't ready to play last year, and Seneca Wallace was past his prime. You know, all these reasons. I think the Packers are in a better place this year with Tolzien. I think he's light years ahead where he was last year in his understanding of the offense, his command of the huddle, and I think his arm strength is better than Matt Flynn's. I think you keep only two quarterbacks on the roster, because if you're keeping a third, I mean, ideally, the third quarterback never plays an entire snap the whole season. I think you're just, you're cutting somebody else then in order to keep three. And I think you got to cut Matt Flynn. I think if you end up suffering an injury, I think you can get him off the street. I don't think he's going to be picked up by any other NFL team. I could be wrong about that, certainly. But I think he's there if you need him, and you just go with Scott Tolzien for the time being. Obviously, if you cut Matt Flynn, you got to pick up a quarterback off the street for the practice squad, or the Packers would have to go with Chase Reddick. I'm not sure Chase Reddick is an NFL quarterback, but they would be picking up a third quarterback somewhere, but I think it would be a guy who was cut from another NFL team, and you end up inviting him to the practice squad like the Packers did, how they originally acquired Scott Tolzien a year ago. I think that would be the case. But I think the Packers only keep two there. I think the running back position is rather cut and dry. I think the Packers go with Eddie Lacy, James Starks, DeJuan Harris, and John Kuhn. And I think there's been some discussion lately based upon how well DeJuan Harris has played in the preseason, if he could actually be the number two running back instead of James Starks. But, I mean, that's regardless of how many the Packers are going to keep on the roster. I think they only keep four running backs. Certainly they could keep one on the practice squad. It already looks like Rajon Neal's been placed on injured reserve and perhaps lost for the season. Could happen with Ladarius Perkins, who had a very good showing last night. I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers kept him on the practice squad, but I don't think he is a candidate for the 53-man roster. Wide receiver, I think the Packers keep five wide receivers on the roster, but they keep two on the practice squad. I don't think it's worth keeping six wide receivers, because who's ever number six is never going to play unless the Packers suffer multiple injuries. You're going with Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Jarrett Boykin, Davante Adams, and Jeff Janis. You can't let Jeff Janis go because he would be picked up in an instant on waivers by another NFL team. Out of the group that's left, meaning Kevin Dorsey, Miles White, and Alex Gillett. I don't know what you do. I think the Packers keep two out of those three on their practice squad. And maybe, of course, the decision could be made for them if one of them ends up getting picked up on waivers by another NFL team. But I think you keep both two of those guys kind of waiting in the wings. Because I think they're all very talented in their own right. They could use a little more seasoning on the practice squad. And in due time, maybe they can make a contribution down the road. So only five on the 53-man roster, but basically keeping seven overall. At the tight end position, I think you go with four tight ends. You're obviously keeping rookie Richard Rodgers. I think you're keeping Andrew Corliss, even though I can see people making the argument that they part ways with Corliss, but I don't think the Packers do it, especially with the injury to Brandon Bostic here. And I think the Packers keep Bostic as well, although that's kind of makes things a little bit murky. I mean, we don't really know the extent of this injury. The word is that Bostic will only miss, maybe week one or something like that. But if it ends up, lingering, he could be the short-term IR candidate. So things aren't cut and dried here with Brandon Bostic. But assuming he's only going to miss a week, something like that, he's just a game day inactive for a week or something. But I think you keep Brandon Bostic on the roster. And I think you keep Ryan Taylor ahead of Jake Stoneburner. You just don't cut players in their fourth year. Ryan Taylor is going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. It's possible if he has a good year, you end up getting the compensatory draft pick for him if he signs in free agency somewhere. You just don't part with guys you've developed for 4 years. It could be a situation where Ryan Taylor is ready to have the best year of his career, whereas you can also keep Jake Stoneburner on the practice squad just in case. I think that's what you do there. Offensive line. I think the Packers keep eight depending on what happens with J.C. Treader. Again, Treader could be a candidate for the short-term injured reserve. I don't know what the Packers are thinking there. I'm not sure anybody does. But obviously you keep David Bakhtiari, Josh Sitton, Corey Linsley, T.J. Lang, Brian Bulaga. Your backup swing tackle is Derek Sherrod. Your backup guard is Lane Taylor. I am convinced this is the one position I think the Packers will make. They will acquire an offensive lineman somehow, some way, whether it's a waiver wire pickup or perhaps you make a trade and acquire one somehow. I think the Packers are going to get an offensive lineman from some other NFL team. I'm sure the Packers scouts have been scouting heavily other NFL teams looking for that guy who's played well, but on another NFL team where maybe the offensive line is just a deep position and there's just not room for him. I think the Packers personnel department has been looking for that guy that maybe they can pick up, and the Packers will keep him on their 53-man roster. Hopefully a versatile guy who can play multiple positions along the offensive line. I think there's room for that, especially if J.C. Treader ends up being placed on the short-term injured reserve, which could happen. So I think a roster move is forthcoming here. That is my boldest prediction for the 53, is there's an offensive lineman not currently on the team that is going to end up being with the team here. Okay, moving to the defensive side of the football. The defensive line, I think the injury to Kyree Thorne complicates matters. I've seen other beat writers speculate that Kyree Thornton could be lost for the season. I've read this at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Green Bay Press Gazette. If I could credit a writer, if I remembered, I would, but I don't want to end up naming the wrong one. And again, it's all speculation anyway. I don't think they know, and nobody knows the extent of Thornton's injury. The Packers, seemingly, if Thornton is lost for the season, we know Raji's lost for the season. Depth is an issue on the defensive line here now all of a sudden. I think the Packers keep only five defensive linemen. Obviously, you're going with Mike Daniels and Dayton Jones. Then I think you kind of have your big man rotation of Josh Boyd, Latroy Guyon, and Mike Pinnell. And I think the Packers only go with five. And I say this is, going with five is definitely a thin position, no doubt about it. But the thing is, if one of those five ends up, suffering an injury, you can pick up either Ryan Pickett or Johnny Jolly off the street at any time. They're basically on your roster now if you need them. Without having them on your roster, they're only a phone call away. That's why I think the Packers will only keep five, is because if they get in a pinch, the somebody's there if you need them. Ryan Pickett is only a phone call away and can be picked up off the street and be ready in 1 week. Yeah, he might not have the conditioning, but Ryan Pickett wasn't going to play a major amount of snaps anyway. He would only be playing on a rotational basis. And I think you keep one of the young guys, like either Carlos Gray or Luther Robinson, on your practice squad. Develop one of those guys. If I were the Packers, I would go with Carlos Gray. I think he's flashed a little more, been a little more consistent in training camp, but I couldn't fault them for going either way with that. Who knows? Maybe both of them. So that's what I think the Packers will do. You're just going with five defensive linemen, and if they suffer an injury, then you're calling Ryan Pickett or Johnny Jolly to fill the void. I think the Packers go with five outside linebackers, and this is the toughest decision they have to make. You're obviously keeping Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Mike Neal, Nick Perry, and then I think the Packers go with Jayrone Elliott, the undrafted rookie out of Toledo, who has made such a good impact this preseason with 5 sacks in preseason play, which I believe leads the NFL unless somebody overtook him last night. He's played so you can't leave Jayrone Elliott off the 53-man roster. Again, he would be picked up in a second off waivers, I think. He looks so good. He looks so athletic out there. You can't leave him off. But the question is, where does that leave Andy Mulumba? He is the guy that the Packers must make the toughest decision on. Because I think he showed some promise last year. And I think he showed some promise in training camp. He's had a good training camp. He's had a good preseason. But I just don't think there's room for him. I mean, he would be the 6th outside linebacker on the roster. And he's never going to play. He would be inactive every week. And it would probably take 2 or 3 injuries for Andy Mulumba to play. Now, he might be the guy who's a trade candidate. That the Packers might say, hey, who else in the NFL needs an outside linebacker or a defensive end? Andy Mulumba's here. We'll trade you him for the offensive lineman we need. That could be the case. That's easier for me to say than it is for the Packers to make that come to fruition. You know, some NFL team's going to be like, oh, why am I going to trade for him when I can just pick him up on the waiver wire? I don't really know what's going to happen there. You can, if nothing else, if you got to cut Andy Mulumba, I think he's still practice squad eligible with the kind of the way they've expanded the practice squad and the eligibility for it. So I think that's what you do. At the inside linebacker position, I think you keep 5 there as well. I think you keep A.J. Hawk, Brad Jones, Jamari Lattimore, Sam Barrington, and yes, Carl Bradford. I think basically Carl Bradford gets a redshirt year. He's going to be one of those guys who's kept on the 53-man roster, but is inactive every week. Or if he's active, he's simply playing special teams. I just don't think the Packers are going to cut him and expose him to waivers where they could potentially lose him. Some other team might take a chance on him. The Packers should be the team taking the chance on him. And it's fine. You know, with 53-man rosters, there's room for one player to keep that you basically redshirt, in a sense. I thought, Carl Bradford got a lot of playing time at inside linebacker last night. And I think considering he had only spent 2 practices at the position, I think he played rather well. I'm by no means was he perfect, but I think he's worth keeping around and worth developing because I'm not sure what happens to A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones after the 2014 season. I just don't know. So I think you keep Carl Bradford around. That's what I think happens. In the defensive backfield, in the secondary, I think the Packers go with 6 cornerbacks, Sam Shields, Tremont Williams, Casey Hayward, Devon House, Jarrett Bush. And yes, I think Jamal Rule makes the 53-man roster. He's one of those bubble players. I think he had a very good outing last night. Would have had an interception had it not been called back by penalty. So I think he makes it ahead of Dimitri Goodson, who the Packers, I think, will cut Goodson and put him on the practice squad. Although he has been dealing with the concussion, I don't really know the severity of the concussion Goodson's suffered. He didn't play in last night's game. He could be placed on injured reserve for all I know. But regardless, I think the Packers keep Jamal Rule. They're keeping 6 cornerbacks, make no doubt about it, because, Tremont Williams, Devon House, and Jarrett Bush are all free agents after this season. Packers are going to keep some guys in reserve here. So if 1, 2, or perhaps all 3 of them are gone last year, they got somebody experienced that can step up and take that roster spot. At the safety position, I think Chris Banjo won a spot last night. I went into the night thinking the Packers are going to cut Chris Banjo, but came away thinking he made the roster spot simply on his special teams play. They keep Morgan Burnett, HaHa Clinton Dix, Micah Hyde, Sean Richardson, and Chris Banjo for a special teams play. He did a good job last night, and I think he makes it. Would it be the biggest surprise ever if Chris Banjo's cut? They could potentially put him on the practice squad. I guess that could happen. I think he makes it. I think he's maybe your 53rd guy on the roster, Chris Banjo. Didn't have him prior to last night, but I think he locked it up with his play against the Chiefs. He looked motivated out there. Boy, was he fired up when he made that big hit on punt coverage. Obviously, your specialists are Mason Crosby, Tim Maste, and Brett Goode. No change there. Nothing to even really discuss. And they'll round out the 53-man roster. So I think that's what's going to happen. Like I said, my predictions could change based upon the fallout from injuries as we kind of learn what's going to happen today, tomorrow, things like that. At some point here, I'm going to publish an article at Cheesehead TV making an official prediction. I've been kind of waiting, like I said, on injuries, just in case, you know, one ends up being more severe than we first anticipated, just so I can be as accurate as possible. But that's how I think things are going to shake out. We don't have long to wait. Like I said, deadline for 53-man roster Saturday at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time. So kind of awaiting that. That'll do it for today's show. Thanks again to Eric Sislevich for joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Go check out the premiere of Die Noobs this evening at twitch.tv. Excited for that. So I'm not sure if we're going to have an episode on Labor Day or not. Stick around. Follow me on Twitter. I'll let you know whether we do. May simply have plans on Labor Day. You can't blame me if I do, right? On the day you're supposed to take off from work. We'll see. I may want to discuss what the Packers ended up doing with their 53-man roster. For sure, we'll be back next Wednesday with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. But everybody, have a terrific Labor Day weekend. We'll see you next week at some point for sure. I leave you with a song, perhaps appropriate, titled Can't Wait Another Day by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.